Jesus spoke, John 5:28-29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Remember, two things happen: hear his voice and come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, that's the bride of Christ, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment, yes, the world will be judged for their actions during the kingdom. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. What do you think hear his voice means? Years ago, I came out of an office and a news crew stuck a microphone and a camera in my face and asked me a question about Trump. What if they asked, will the dead actually hear the voice of Christ and why? So I ask you, will the dead physically hear the voice of Christ? Is this symbolic? Why must or why should they physically hear his voice? Why not God's voice or just angels? Why must they hear anything? Can't they just be resurrected and off they go? So where are the dead? Job knew. When Job had knowledge and faith of a resurrection, he prayed for death so he could avoid sin and God's wrath, so Job could just sleep until the resurrection morning. Job added, I will wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Job 14. So Job reasoned, you call my name in the resurrection, and I will awake from the sleep of death and answer you. Now from John chapter 11, we understand the following. Mary sent a message to Jesus that Lazarus was really sick. After 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples that Lazarus was asleep. The disciples said, if he's asleep, he's resting, he's doing well. Jesus said, no, Lazarus is dead. Jesus confirmed the fact the dead are asleep. The record of Lazarus in John 11:41. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. Because of the people standing around, I said it out loud so that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus had a purpose to speak these words out loud. Verse 43 and 44, when Jesus said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who died came forth. This is an argument that the dead should physically hear the voice of Jesus. No harm that those resurrected first will share with the next what they heard and were told. They compared notes. They heard the same voice and what the king said. They will sing the same song. Now we turn to Jairus' 12-year-old daughter who died in Mark 5:39-40. Jesus went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Once again, Jesus confirms the dead are asleep. Jesus took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. At this, they were completely astonished. We're making a case that those asleep will physically hear the voice of Jesus. In both cases, the dead woke up from sleep. Jesus said, wake up, get up. I say to you, come forth. Lazarus and the 12-year-old girl heard and responded to his voice. Not resurrected to perfection of bodies, but awakened from the sleep of death. A couple examples of sound. Acts 2:2, where the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit was recorded as a rushing mighty wind. They all heard it. Did they only feel it? They all heard it so that there could be no mistake for them, their followers, and us. Revelation 14:2, New American. John is describing the voice he heard in his vision. I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder, like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. A couple examples of sound. The church class hears the voice of Jesus through faith. John 10 tells us, as sheep, we hear the voice through faith, we follow and we respond. Mankind will be awakened with no faith, not yet. How would you get them off to a perfect start? We'll answer later. Let's establish whose right it is to resurrect. We agree man is under a death sentence because of Adam. Jesus laid down the ransom price, the corresponding price, to satisfy justice and pay the price required. He alone made atonement for man. We agree the right of Jesus to resurrect is because of the ransom. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, Christ, he became a life-giving spirit. That's where resurrection life comes from. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ was given authority by virtue of his payment. God said justice is satisfied. You bought mankind with your precious blood. Here you go. You own them. Revelation 1:18. I, Christ, have the keys of death and of Hades, where they, the dead, sleep. Isaiah 42:7, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon of death those who sit in darkness. If Christ has the keys, he has the power to free the prisoners. Christ's resurrection proved he was faithful in that objective. When his sacrifice is applied for all mankind, Christ has fully purchased them. He owns mankind. His ransom is the receipt. He alone becomes the life giver of Adam and the whole human race. The price he paid will be applied to them. The life rights he forfeited are the same rights he will apply to mankind. The right to resurrect is solely Christ. Now, what should the saints hear upon their resurrection? Because we too are in John 5. In the parable of the talents recorded in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, when the master is explaining the reward for being good stewards of our goods for each faithful servant, the master said, spoke unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Is it reasonable to expect to hear this upon our change? I think so. Jesus calls the saints from the sleep of death. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. At the least, we should feel this. If we feel it or hear it, shouldn't the world hear something? I believe our joy will be made more than complete, where God surpasses expectations, not just to have our joy fulfilled, but to surpass it for our glorification. Jesus on earth just wanted to be back with his Father. God said, no, I will raise you, Jesus, to a higher glory, a more excellent glory, exalted much more than maybe Jesus expected. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye might But that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. When God blesses and glorifies, He doesn't leave a cup of joy half full. Were Jesus's joys more than exceedingly complete? Of course. When meditating or reflecting on what God might do in a situation, if you square your thinking towards God's character, you likely wouldn't be wrong. God is the greatest Father ever. Let's summarize. The scriptures confirm all who were asleep in the grave are waiting to hear his voice and come forth. Who loves mankind? God who provided the sacrifice and Jesus Christ who laid down his life for them in sacrifice. On the death and resurrection of Jesus rest all the hopes of mankind. First, the awakening. I delivered you from death. The power to resurrect is in the hands of Christ. First is the resurrection, the spark of life. They must hear his voice because it contains life, the message of truth, and the terms of life everlasting. Now, physically hear his voice? Maybe. If true, every human may say, I was not forgotten. No one was. Jesus spoke all our names. Those awoken must hear the message of God's grace, the ransom, and why they heard the voice of Jesus. I gave you life again. Immediately they must know Christ, the why, how, and the laws of life. Because they can't run and seek out revenge on the person who took their life. They must immediately understand the terms because they will be immediately judged for their actions. In my view, before mankind can move from their spot, they must know enough and not be permitted to run and make sin, look for revenge. The first thing man knows is that he awoke, and it was to the voice of the Son of Man. I heard him. He raised me. The ransom was applied to me. I was explained the terms. How would you get mankind off to a perfect start? Having them come to a knowledge of God, the Messiah King, and the opportunity for life everlasting. While the church shares the throne in glory, my thought is the voice that man must hear, physically allowed maybe, will be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's alone. It was by him that we all are made alive again. If you feel the church's future work could picture Mother Eve, our work would be to nurture, to hold, comfort, teach, and feed mankind, maybe after the voice is heard. Make them healthy in their mind. Remember, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Drink freely this truth. Lazarus, come forth, unwrap his bandages. Is it possible this work of unwrapping of bandages may be where the Spirit and the Bride say, come? Let's study it. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately she stood up and began to walk around. Once she awakes, will the Bride assist and help her walk up the highway of holiness? Could the Bride continue the nourishing? See what you think. It's a thought I had from Revelation 14, verse 4. The bride follows the lamb wherever he goes. Yes, even follow him to the resurrecting. If these spoken terms are laid out upon wakening, no one can say, I wasn't told, and plead ignorance. In your meditations, ask, what would be accomplished if a Jew heard the voice of Christ and came forth? What would hearing his voice accomplish for Muslims? Accomplish for Christianity? I can imagine some saying, well, we were partly right. How about atheists, Hinduism, for Buddhists? It didn't matter that Satan had mankind so separated. Christ raised them of one knowledge. My favorite thought is that every human who took a breath of life will be able to say, Jesus said my name. Forgive my speculative thoughts. Please study for yourself. Resurrection will be majestic. All things will be made new.